بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد Respected brothers and sisters, tonight is the 24th night of Ramadan. Inshallah, today we'll be going over a few ayat of the 23rd Juz and the 24th Juz. There are many, many lessons that Quran presents to us that can be a means of our life changing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Akhirah, when one of the individuals will be in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Jannah, how the people, they will be enjoying, the inhabitants of Jannah will enjoy the bounties of Jannah. And this is haqq. When we hear the ayat of Jannah, our hearts should be filled with excitement and happiness, with firm conviction that this is going to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ رِزْقٌ مَعْلُومٌ فَوَاكِهُ وَهُمْ مُكْرَمُونَ They will have whatever they want to eat and they will be honored, treated honorably. فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ عَلَىٰ سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ They will be on thrones, facing each other, enjoying, relaxing. يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِكَأْسٍ مِّن مَعِينٍ Then the goblets and the cups of Jannah, which will be filled with overflowing wine, halal, pure, will be served to them. يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ So there will be individuals who will be serving them. بَيْضَاءَ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ And this drink, this wine, will be white and pleasurable. لَذَّةٍ Pleasurable for those who drink. لَا فِيهَا غَوْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ عَنْهَا يُنزَفُونَ That wine of Jannah will not produce any type of sickness or nausea to the person who drinks, nor will it cause any intoxication, but rather it will be pure wine of Jannah. وَعِنْدَهُمْ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِعِينَ And with them, the people of Jannah, there will be the wide, beautiful-eyed حُورٌ عِينَ of Jannah. The quality of these women is that their gazes will be on the ground. They will not be looking at anyone else except their spouses. SubhanAllah. وَعِنْدَهُمْ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِعِينَ Their gazes will be ever lowered out of modesty. This shows that the quality of the women who will end up in Jannah is modesty. That those women who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected to go to Jannah, their very important quality in this world is modesty, haya, shyness. This quality is a praiseworthy quality in a female. That she must have haya, she must have modesty, she must want to conceal herself, she must want to lower her gaze, she must not want to look at others, as we explained before. These are all the qualities of the women of Jannah. So this is a very praiseworthy quality in a female, to be modest, to be humble, to have haya. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ And the people of Jannah, they are enjoying, they are eating, drinking, whatever they want. And then they have conversations also. So they sit with one another and they start to speak to one another. And then one of them says, قَالَقَ And this is the point I wanted to mention. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينٌ So one of them who is in Jannah, he will say, I had a friend with me in dunya, I don't see him here. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ One of the speakers, one of the persons who will speak in Jannah, he will say, إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينٌ I had a friend who was in dunya with me, but I don't see him in Jannah. يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ He used to ask me that, do you really believe in resurrection and life after death? This is what my friend used to tell me. And then he used to say to me, أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ That when we die and we become sand and we become bones, then really will we be resurrected and given the compensation for what we did in dunya? So this is how my friend used to speak to me when he was in dunya. So then this person of Jannah will say to the rest of the people who he is speaking to, Hal antum muttali'un? Let's go check to see where he is. So the people of Jannah will be able to also see the people of Jahannam to see who is there, is my friend there, is my relative there. So he will say, Hal antum muttali'un? That let's have a look at Jahannam to see if he's there. فَطَّلَعَ. So when he will look into Jahannam, فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَائِ الْجَحِيمِ, then he will see his friend in the midst of Jahannam. فِي سَوَائِ الْجَحِيمِ. And then the mu'min will say to his friend, تَاللَّهِ إِن كِتَّ لَتُرْدِينَ, that, oh my friend, wallahi, you had almost destroyed me also. كِتَّ لَتُرْدِينَ. وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْضَرِينَ, that if it was not for the blessing and the bounty of my Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I would have also been presented towards the punishment in the fire of Jahannam. So brothers, this shows that what others tell us to do, we don't just listen because of pressure. Rather, we listen to what they say and then we analyze what they tell us in terms of Sharia. Is this acceptable to Allah or is this not acceptable to Allah? If it is accepted to Allah, we will accept it. If it is not acceptable, we will throw it away and we will not accept. Because in dunya, if out of pressure we listen to our friend or we listen to our company or we listen to our family members because of pressure of society, then in akhirah the same punishment they will receive, then we will also receive. Therefore in dunya a person should be steadfast on deen, not care with regards to who says what. And this is the point that was very interesting in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact mentions one of the qualities of the people who will never become murtad in their life are those people who don't care what other people say about them. This is a quality that every believer should have. Ulama explained that the person who is scared all the time, if I do this, what will that person say? If I do this, what will they say? What will they say? May Allah protect, this person is very likely to leave his deen before he dies. Very likely to become murtad, may Allah protect. These are the people who leave Islam. Those who are afraid of what others will say. But the person who لا يخافون لوم تلائم, the one who doesn't fear the rebuke of those who will rebuke, then that person will stay steadfast on deen even if the world is against him and he is the only one alive as a Muslim, he will still remain steadfast on deen. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah. How steadfast he was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I'll translate that ayah inshallah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, those who have become murtad and have turned away from deen. مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. Then, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. Then Allah doesn't care who turns away. It's okay. Whoever wants to turn away can turn away. But Allah will replace them with such a group of people, يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. This is what Allah mentions. Allah mentions the group of people that we will bring as a replacement of those who had become murtad and left Islam are such people who don't care about what others say. We will bring these type of people. The ulama explained the ishara Allah is making in this ayah is that anyone who has this quality of not caring what others say and only caring what Allah and His Rasul say, this shows that this person will not become murtad. Why? Because Allah replaced him. Allah replaced the murtads with him. So how can this person end up as a murtad? So this person will never become murtad. The person who doesn't care what others say, he will remain on Islam. And the one who cares about what they will say, if I don't dress like this, what will they say? If my wedding is not like this, what will they say? May Allah protect that person, will never have istiqamat on deen. So good friendship is very important. And to analyze and to weigh what others tell us in terms of Sharia, that is very important. Otherwise a person will regret in akhirah on the day of judgment. May Allah protect us. In Surah Sa'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Sulaiman alayhi salam. And we hear this a lot, but this is very, very important. This shows how much Anbiya and the pious used to give preference to A'mal. And anything that used to come between them and the obedience of Allah, they would consider as their enemies. This is what a Mizaj of Anbiya. As we know, that famous Sahabi, he was praying Nafil Salah in his garden, and one bird came and he lost his vision, or he lost his concentration in Salah, and he focused on the bird and how nice it looked, how nice his garden was. And then he lost focus of this number of rakat in his Salah. So that garden was a means of him missing his amal. So now that garden, he didn't want that garden anymore. He said, I want to get rid of this garden. So anything that comes between a person and his obedience to Allah is an enemy to oneself in reality. This is why, my dear respected brother, this one ayah in the 28th juz. You know, we will recite it, it's shown. Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahdharuhum. Allah Ta'ala says, and this may be a bitter ayah to swallow, but it's haqiqat, it's a reality. That some azwajikum wa awladikum, some people, their wives and children are their enemies. Allah is saying, Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum. Fahdharu, fear them. Fear your wife and children. Allahu Akbar. Fear your wife and children. Which type of wife and children? Because of them, my a'mal are decreasing. I'm going away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That wife and children, by the qasam of Allah, million times, that wife and children are not ni'mah. It is azab. That wife and children are not ni'mah, who are a cause of me decreasing in my a'mal. Allah is saying. I'm not saying. Allah is saying. But that wife and children who are, in other words, they are not causing me to decrease in my deen, then that is a great ni'mah. That is a great ni'mah. This is why, my dear respected brothers, to be so engaged in my dunya that my deen is sacrificed. Allah Ta'ala says, no, that should not happen. La tulhikum amwalukum. Of course, our wife and children are in their place. We have to honor them. We have to love them. We have to spend time with them. We have to show them the muhabbat. But when command of Allah comes, then there's no compromise. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be with his wife and children. He used to be happy with his wife and children. When Adhan was called, it was as if they didn't know who he was. It was as if he didn't know who his family was. When the command of Allah comes, no compromise. Other than that, we must, because this is also command of Allah, to show good akhlaq to the wife and children. Hadith Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the best amongst you is the one who is best to his wife. Allahu Akbar. This is a hadith. The best amongst you is the one who is best to his wife. The best in iman is the one who shows best akhlaq to his wife. Allahu Akbar. So that is in its place. But when it comes to the command of Allah, my a'mal should not be missing because of my family. That is a balance that a Muslim must adopt. So, Sulaiman alayhi salam also, he was viewing the horses that were prepared for the path of Allah. These were not horses of dunya. These were the horses that were being used to elevate the deen of Allah. لِإِعْلَاءِ كَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ. So they were such beautiful horses. Allah calls them Safinatul Jiyad in the Quran. Beautiful, amazing, highest quality horses. This is what Allah is saying. Safinatul Jiyad. So, إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ. When the pure, very nice, finest horses were presented to Sulaiman al-Islam one evening. So it was between Asr and Maghrib. So ulama explained that he used to do a particular dhikr between Asr and Maghrib. But that dhikr, that wazifa, he missed because he was so, you know, so involved in looking and amazed at these horses that were prepared for khuruj in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of that, the sun set and he missed his dhikr. So even that animal, which is not dunya, it was a cause of deen. It was to strive in the path of Allah. This is how the ulama explained in the books of tafsir. Still, he said, that horse was a means of my missing my dhikr, subhanAllah. So he said, anything between myself and missing the command of Allah, even though dhikr is not fard, but for anbiya, even something very small, they cannot tolerate. They become bechain, they become restless. So he says, bring them back to me. Rudduha Ali, bring these horses back to me. When the horses were brought back to him, then all of them, فَطَفِقَ مَسْحًا بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ. He started to sacrifice these horses. In that sharia, to sacrifice the horses and to eat the horses was halal without any dislike. In our sharia, even though it's halal, but there's some level of karaha in slaughtering the horses. But in that Sharia, there was no impermissibility in eating horses. So Sulaiman alayhi salam said, I cannot keep them alive because they were the cause of me missing my dhikr. And then he sacrificed all of these horses. This shows the steadfastness on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firm on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this type of balance, my dear respected brothers, some go in one direction, that they miss everything because of their family. And one go in the other direction, that they do so much zulm on their family, and they call it the name of deen. There has to be a complete balance, full of love for the family, but when the deen of Allah comes, no compromise. Deen is number one. Everyone should know, deen is number one. I will not miss any command of Allah. I will not miss any sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a deen which is wasata. It is between the two, between the two extremes. This is the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. In the 24th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions one ayah which is one of the most, we can say, ayah that gives us the most hope in the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. That, O you who believe, never ever be despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Because if Allah wants, He will forgive all sins. Nobody can stop. Nobody can question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, Allah is most forgiving and Allah is most merciful. This is why this ayah, right? Sometimes we need to recite this and ponder over this, because sometimes a point comes in a person's life where he loses hope, that what is wrong with my life? What am I doing? That also is not good, to lose hope also. And to be very relaxed also is not good. Sometimes two extremes. Some people get very depressed, what's going to happen to me? And they leave amal. I've lost hope. I'd rather live in the disobedience of Allah. What use is there to be Muslim? I'm already committing so many sins. Let me continue that way. That is one extreme. Another extreme is Allah will forgive. Let's do all the sins also. So no, we have to fear Allah, be very steadfast on our deen. But at the same time, have the fear, but have hope, complete hope, that my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. My Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafoor al-Rahim. That mercy and that hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be there in the heart of every believer. My dear respected brothers, one ayah in the 24th juz in Surah Zumar, Allah explains His qudrah, subhanAllah. Allah says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. That the people have not valued Allah and understood His greatness as is the right to understand the greatness of Allah. How powerful Allah is, subhanAllah. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, let me make it very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is munazzah. Munazzah means Allah is pure from any defect. Having body parts is a defect. Because having body parts means that a person has parts. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have body parts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limit. To have a shape means to have restrictions. Allah has no shape. Allah has no body parts. Allah is Allah. Creation has shape. Creation has body parts. So that's why whenever the word yad, hand of Allah, etc. are mentioned in the Quran, they don't have the literal meaning of hand. Right? These are called mutashabihat. Like the hand of Allah, the shin of Allah, and other words like this. Right? So these are called ayat mutashabihat. What stance do we take with regards to these ayat? Our stance is, it does not mean that the literal meaning. It doesn't mean the literal meaning. What does it mean? Allah knows this. That is our sense. We know for sure it doesn't mean the literal meaning. Allah does not have a physical hand. It doesn't mean that. What does it mean? Allahu a'lam bi muradihi bi dhalik. Allah knows best what it means. So these are ayat mutashabihat. But in any case, to explain to us, for our understanding how powerful Allah is, Allah sometimes mentions these words like yad. For example, in this ayah also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, how powerful is Allah and how insignificant are these seven heavens and the earth put together. Then what will Allah do? What will Allah do on the day of judgment? Allah says, وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ. That the entire earth will be in His grasp on the day of judgment. Just in His grasp. All those other things that they worship will be under the grasp of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without, Allah is just doing this so we can understand and comprehend, but Allah is munazzah from any body parts. So So it will be in the grasp of Allah. Like a person grabs something, it's completely in his control. So small it is. Like that is the entire, it has no value. Whatever they worship other than Allah is nothing. It's within this earth. It has nothing, no power compared to the qudrat of Allah. وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِ And the seven heavens will be crumpled up like a piece of paper in the right hand of Allah. Subhanallah. In the right hand of Allah. And again, like we said, Allah has no physical hand. What does it mean? It shows the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the right hand of Allah, the seven heavens will be scrolled up like a piece of paper. Subhanallah. This is Allah. This is how powerful He is. And how can any of these creations that people are worshipping other than Allah, how can this have any comparison with the qudrat of Allah? No. Focus should be only on Allah. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ He is pure from any defect. وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ And He is far greater and exalted above that which they associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the 24th juz in Surah Mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the punishment of the grave. Some people, they have ishkal, they say, well, the punishment of the grave is not mentioned in Quran. You know, some people, they say that. They say, Quran has Jannah, Quran has Jahannam. Even though that's not, even if Quran didn't mention the punishment of the grave, Quran says, whatever Nabi said is haqq. In huwa illa wahyu yuha. Quran says, whatever Nabi says is haqq. So whatever is in hadith is basically in Quran. Right? Whatever is in hadith, Quran is agreeing to that. Right? In huwa illa wahyu yuha. Whatever Nabi says, that is wahi from Allah. But in any case, there is mention of the punishment of the grave in the Quran. And this is the ayah that mentions it. النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا That right now, as we speak, in the grave, in other words, grave means the life between Qiyamah and Dunya. That is what grave means, right? Because even if somebody doesn't get buried, right? Even if somebody doesn't get buried, or they are burned, or they are cremated, they cannot escape the barzakh. Barzakh is the middle period. Right? Because the real azab and the punishment that happens is to the soul. Huh? The souls of the wicked go to Sijjin, and the souls of the pious go to Iliyin. And the souls of the Shuhada, like we mentioned yesterday, they roam in Jannah, subhanAllah. The souls of the Shuhada will be roaming in Jannah. That's why I mentioned yesterday that the Shaheed will go to Jannah even before the Day of Judgment. In other words, his soul. Of course, with physical body, that will be happening after the Day of Judgment. Everyone will go after Qiyamah with soul and body. But the Shaheed, the pious servants, their souls will be in Iliyin. And the wicked people, their souls will be in Sijjin. But the souls in Arwah of the Shuhada, they will be roaming in Jannah. So the Arwah of the Shuhada will go to Jannah even before the Day of Judgment. SubhanAllah. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so barzakh. So the real punishment, so even if somebody is cremated, how can he be punished in the grave? No. The real punishment happens to the soul, and when that happens, whatever part of the body is remaining, it is connected. The punishment, the soul, the body still have some level of connection. Not physical connection, but some connection is still there. For example, when a person sleeps, his ruha goes up. But still there's connection between the body and the soul, even though the soul is not there, right? The ruh has went up. Similarly, when a person's soul is out, the real punishment is happening to the soul, either in Sijjin or in Iliyin, and the rewards are happening to the soul. But the body also feels that effect because there's still some connection. Whatever little particle of body may be remaining, even if it may be ashes, still that connection is there. And then when the Qiyamah happens, Allah will put those ashes, will put that body part back together, and then Allah will insert the soul back into those body parts, into the pieces of body that are remaining. So even if somebody is not buried, the punishment or the reward of barzakh is still happening. That is barzakh, the middle period. So that's what Allah is talking about in Quran. النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا The Fir'aun as we speak. Even though they didn't bury his body. Right? Allah says, فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ لِتَكُونَ لِمَنْ خَلْفَكَ آيَةً So his body is still there without being buried. But still, the punishment is happening to Fir'aun. النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ A much worse punishment than that. So every stage after will be worse than the previous stage. Punishment of the grave is very light compared to the punishment of the Day of Judgment and the punishment of Jahannam. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in these few verses. So this is an ayah that proves the haqiqat of the punishment of the grave. In Surah Habin Sajda, and I'll end with this inshaAllah ta'ala. Very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا That those who have istiqamah on deen, and they say, Allah is my Rabb. And they have istiqama on deen. Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah used to say, saying Allah is my Rabb and then having istiqama means that we have to make the effort of Rabbun Allah. Qalu Rabbun Allah is not just, I say Allah is my Rabb. No, that is an effort. Qalu Rabbun Allah is one entire effort. It is not just saying Allah is my Rabb. It's an entire effort to get that into the heart. And I'll explain tomorrow, inshallah, what does Rabb mean? Allahu Akbar. Rabb is that being who knows about all of his creations. He knows about all the needs of his creations. He knows what is beneficial for his creations. He has the ability to fulfill the need of his creation. He has the resources to fulfill the needs of his creation. And he knows how to deliver those resources to fulfill the needs of his creations. And he actually does deliver the needs to fulfill the needs of the creations. All of this has to happen in Rabb. All of this has to happen in Rabb. This is Rabb. Nobody is Rabb except Allah. So to bring that into the heart, it requires an effort. قال ربنا الله ثم استقاموا. Then he has istiqama. Then what will happen? Right? And the ulama explained the effort of ربنا الله. Allah is explaining a few verses after. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحِ. That's the connection. So da'wah ila Allah is the effort of ربنا الله. And the effort of da'wah ila Allah will produce istiqama fi al-deen. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. That's why da'wah ila Allah will give istiqamah on deen. Not without da'wah ila Allah. Istiqamah on deen is not possible. So this is what Allah is saying. So those who have istiqamah on deen, what will happen to them? At the time of death, tatanazzalu alayhimul malaika. Angels will come down to them. And angels will tell them, enter into Jannah. This will happen right before death, my dear. If we have istiqamah, Yusuf Ramadan used to say, live your life like Ramadan, then your death will be like the day of Eid. Live your whole life with mujahada and obedience to the commands of Allah. हां जो अपने जिंदगी को गुजारेगा रमजान के रोजों की तरह वो अपने मौत को पाएगा ईद के चांद की तरह जैसा दे इसमें से दैट एट द टाइम ऑफ एंड दैट ईद विल नॉट बी वन डे दैट ईद विल बी फॉरएवर एंड एवर अंटिल फॉरएवर फॉर इटर्निटी सुभान अल्लाह टुडे इज ईद विल बी वन डे आफ्टर दैट वी टेक ऑफ द नाइस क्लोथ्स बट द ईद ऑफ आखिरा विल बी फॉरएवर एंड एवर दैट इज रियलिटी सो दिस इज व्हाट अल्लाह सेज एंड देन अल्लाह मेंशंस वन लास्ट वर्स व्हिच इज वेरी वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट आई वांट टू मेक इट वेरी क्लियर इंशाल्लाह अल्लाह एक्सप्लेन्स द अखलाक ऑफ अ दाई Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّذِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Anyone does wrong to you, then give them in return good. They do bad to you, you do good to them. And what will happen because of that? Then the evil that they had for you in their heart will turn into friendship. The animosity will convert into friendship. This is the prescription of a da'i. Even a person does zulm to you, still treat him with honor, respect, with muhabbat, with love. That person will not have a choice except to melt. This does not mean that those who do good to you, you don't do good to them. No, this doesn't mean that. Those who do bad to you, you have to do good to them. Then those who do good to you, then of course you have to do much better to them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to receive a gift, he used to give back that gift and even more than that. One masala I want to mention, very important, Allahu Akbar. Time is limited, but if somebody gives you a loan and you have to repay him the loan, it is a great virtue to pay him back more than what he gave you. If he gives me a loan of $500, when I return back the loan, and this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do, he used to give back better than what he used to receive. He gave me $500, I'll give him back $600. This is not riba, this is not interest. Interest is if at the time of the loan we make an agreement that you give me 500, when I pay you back, I will give 600. If the agreement is made, that is riba. But if there's no agreement, agreement is you gave me 500, I give you 500. That's the agreement, right? But at the time of giving, I give him more than what he gave me. That is not riba, that is ayn sunnah. That is sunnah. That is the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody used to do ihsan on him, he used to do a bigger ihsan on them. So those who do good to us, we should do very, very, very good to them. And those who do bad to us, we should also do very good to them. This is the akhlaq of da'i. Allah ta'ala give us understanding. Allah says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. Not everyone can do this. This is very difficult. Those who do bad to me, I do good to them. Only those who have sabr can do this. وَمَا يُلَقَّهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And only the person who has a great status in the sight of Allah, only that person can do that. Not everyone can do it. And then one last verse Allah mentions. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ يَزْغُنْ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Our Shaykh al-Haditha, Muhammad Fazlur Rahman Sahib, Dhamad Barakat, he used to always say that usually the Huffaz will read this ayah in Salah. After they read, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ, they go into ruku. He says, you should not go into ruku at that time. You didn't even finish the topic. The subject is not finished yet. There's one more ayah so that to finish the subject that is being discussed. What is that ayah? وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Then do ruku. Because that ayah says, when shaitan will whisper into your heart, then what do you do? فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. Seek the protection of Allah. In this ayah, there's a subtle indication that these are ayat of da'wah ilallah. That shaitan's greatest effort will be on a da'i. Because that effort is completely opposite to the effort of shaitan. Muslim Sharif, it is mentioned that shaitan has a arsh, has a throne on the water. And every day he takes karguzari from his small shayateen. That he makes mashura. That who did you deceive today? Who did you deceive today? Okay, go to him today. And if somebody caused the difference between wife and husband, then shaitan is so happy and he brings him and honors him that you did the best today, that you caused fight between wife and husband. Because causing fight between from his arsh on the water, from his throne on the water, and he takes karguzari. So the effort that goes completely against the effort of shaitan is the effort of da'wah ilallah. So therefore, my dear spectator, this is an indication that shaitan's greatest effort is on a da'i. So when shaitan whispers, what do? A'udhu billahi minash. Ask Allah. One alim gave a very beautiful example. He said, if somebody has a dog, right? And the dog is barking at me. What do I do? I tell the owner, grab him. Take care of him. Right? You call him back. Why is he running at me? Why is he running towards me? Why is he barking at me? Take him. So, shaitan is the creation of Allah. When shaitan is barking at me, we tell Allah, oh Allah, take care of him. Oh Allah, take care of him. Don't let him bark at me. So, the only cure to the whispers of shaitan is, oh Allah, save me from the whispers of shaitan. There's no other way we can fight against shaitan. We just have to tell the owner of shaitan, oh Allah, take care of shaitan for me and take him away from me. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan al-rajim. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillah, today is the day of Khatam al-Quran. And this is a very Mubarak moment that we have finished the entire recitation of Quran. Subhanallah. You know, when the people will find out the reward of Fatiha and Surah Qul Huwa Allah on the Day of Judgment, they will wish I recited more, because the huge reward of Fatiha and Surah Qul Huwa Allah. What about the reward of the entire Quran? This is direct currency of Akhirah. Tilawat of Quran is direct currency of Akhirah. Subhanallah. And the one who recites Quran, one should make muraqabah that Allah is listening to my recitation and Allah is enjoying my recitation. So this is the feeling we have when we recite Quran. And every letter is direct currency of Akhirah. So Mubarak is the Hafiz who recited Quran. Mubarak are those who listen to Quran. And this is the time when the du'as are accepted. May Allah Ta'ala give us understanding and accept our du'as, inshallah.
I would like to...